Well, good morning, folks. Mark DiMatteo coming at you, going out to the Four Great Questions group. I wanted to, first of all, tell you the last time I sent out a message, we were right at around 380 folks, which were part of this group. And just one message later, we were right at 400 now. And so for all of you additional new people, I wanted to say welcome to your first official message. We're pleased, happy to have you and the rest of you fine folks along with us. Just to let you know, I'm in the process of working on some things here, too, that will allow those of you that have come on board and maybe missed some of the previous messages that want to be able to gain access to them. I will have provision for that to happen. I'm in the process of setting up a blog site, and my goal is to upload the messages, and so you can go back and download them and listen to anything that's passed, okay? So just as an FYI for y'all. So anyway, let's get into what we want to talk about tonight or this morning. And last time we talked, we actually discussed briefly the fifth great question, even though we pretty much call it the four great questions, but there is a fifth one that could be added, and that is, what am I? And I mentioned that part of answering that question, and really the first three for that matter, is taking stock or becoming aware of the reality of what was going on around us every day. I personally, folks, have always been astounded by the contributing factors that allow us to be alive, though I must admit that sometimes, actually probably most of the time, it's pretty easy to take it for granted, and perhaps you guys do too. I mean, we get up and we live each day and do whatever it is we do, and it's really astounding to stop and think about what's going on around us that allow us actually to be alive. In the previous message, I touched on what amazing machines our human bodies are, and while we will discuss them in greater detail in the future, this time, let's look for a moment at just a few of these life-allowing factors on a larger scale, okay? And these are just a few, but it's amazing. First of all, there's a force called gravity that keeps us and everything around us from floating off into space. That's kind of important. And, again, it's easy to take that for granted, but not only that, but it helps to keep the moon, us ourselves on the Earth, as the Earth itself, the planets, the stars, and the galaxies all on their individual courses. Interestingly, we can study it, the force of gravity. We can measure its strength. And even though it seems to be generated by atomic force itself, we really don't know why it's there or how it works, or what makes it work. And we don't seem to be able to stop it or block it, which is kind of interesting. And yet, we could not live without it. We have a sun. We have our own star, which is actually the sun, and it's actually a stable star. It's the type of star that produces visible light, the kind our eyes can see. Not all stars are like ours, folks. Some are much more erratic, even explosive in their energy output, which would obviously be very disastrous for us. We seem to have the right kind of star to allow life to exist on Earth. We're also just the right distance away from it, move us just a modest distance either further away or closer to it, and the surface and our planet itself, the conditions on our planet would be far different than they are today. Interestingly enough, the more we understand and study our own galaxy, the Milky Way, the huge community of stars that our sun is one of somewhere between 100 and 200 billion stars in the Milky Way, depending on different things you read and estimates. But it's beginning to be determined that perhaps where we are actually located in our galaxy, which is on one of the arms, I don't have time to get into that right now, but it seems that it's actually almost an ideal spot. They've called it the galactic habitable zone. Okay, we might touch on this a little bit more later, but that's amazing as well. We have an atmosphere that we can live in, see through, breathe, and so can all the other plants and creatures that they live in it. And it'd be interesting to talk about the combination of the biota and that, the way plants give off carbon dioxide and we, no, excuse me, they, So saying that correctly, they take in carbon dioxide, give off oxygen. We take in oxygen in the air we breathe. That's what we need. Air is not complete oxygen. Most of you all know that, but it's mostly nitrogen. But anyway, we need the oxygen. So we take that in, and when we breathe out, we expel carbon dioxide, which the plants need. So that's kind of an interesting combination. More on that a little later as well. Our atmosphere filters out. One of the other things it does is most of the sun's harmful radiation, harmful rays, and lets through the parts that seem to do us the most good. That's kind of amazing. We also have, and let me just say this, each one of these things could be discussed in great detail. That's not the purpose of that here, but it's just to kind of toss a few of these things out to you all that always amazed me. The more I learned about all these things, the more I studied them, I was fascinated. We have a magnetic field that does the same thing. It protects us from the charged particles coming from the sun. We have what is called a solar wind that's constantly coming out of the sun. And if it were to bombard our planet unprotected, we'd be microwaved. We'd be french fried, okay? And the magnetic field protects that, among other things. We're definitely going to come back to that later because that's an amazing phenomenon, this magnetic field, and what it can tell us about different things, okay? We have virtually all the liquid water in the solar system on the Earth, and we could not live without it. As a matter of fact, most of y'all know that we as human beings, interestingly enough, astoundingly enough, are 70% water, apparently, give or take. I hear slightly different percentages, but just call it 70%, okay? Our planet's tilted on its axis, so we actually have seasons, and that's actually more important than most of us realize. Again, beyond the scope of this message right here, but that's an interesting phenomenon. And even our moon, the size of it, what a lot of people don't realize, if we had a larger moon or a closer moon, it could actually create large crustal tides where the actual surface of the Earth would buckle and move up and down like right now the ocean does. And it seems to do the ocean tides just right to keep our shores. You know, it's significant what it does, and to keep the shores cleansed and the waters from along the edges not stagnant. Okay, I mean, again, this is what it seems like. Okay, so again, we'll just throw this out there and we'll think about it. But there's an amazing hydrologic or water cycle that waters the Earth. Water's evaporated from the heat of the sun, mainly from the vast oceans that also cover 70% of the Earth, or the same figure anyway. Then they're carried as water vapor in clouds, transported by wind currents over the land, where they, through a variety of conditions, then drop their life-giving cargo over land. Even the lightning from thunderstorms adds nitrogen fertilizer to the drops of rain as they fall, which is pretty amazing. We could talk about a lot of these different things, but again, these are just a few, only a few, and there are certainly many, many more. And folks, we'll return to some of these later and discuss them a little more fully, and perhaps a few others as well. But for now, just discussing the few that we have reminds me all the time that there are an astounding number of conditions that all have to exist in order for life to be possible on Earth. One of the things I wanted to know as I started off in this journey, and as we begin considering origins, or the first three of the now five questions, and again, just in review, who am I, where did I come from, and now what am I? Okay, these all have to do with origins, okay? And here's what I wanted to know. Were all these conditions explainable as simply concurrent coincidences, or are they not? Okay, so stay tuned. We're just getting started. We have a whole lot more to talk about, okay? So y'all have a great day. We'll chat with you again next week. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.